So everyone in this room needs to deal with this thing called worry. Anxiety is something that attacks us every single day. Everybody agree with that? Say amen.
Amen.
Okay, so now we've got to figure out what the Bible says about this problem called anxiety and how prayer is the answer to anxiety. And you might be asking today, how is that possible? And so we're going to try to deal with that in very specific and very clear ways of what the Bible says about God's answer to anxiety. So turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, we believe that God's word in us changes us. That's core value number one. And so there is great power in the word of God. And in our anxieties and in our worries, we go to God's word. Please stand with me as we read Philippians 4, beginning with verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Please read verse 7 out loud with me. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Father, you've given us a great gift. It's the peace of God. And yet so often we forfeit that gift. We do not embrace it. We do not experience it. So, Lord God, in this room, there are some that are troubled in their hearts. You say, let not your heart be troubled. So, Lord God, help us to see what we can do to make a change and a turnabout. Lord, we want your peace in our hearts. Lord, for those in this room that do not know you, Lord God, and they're carrying their anxieties and their worries on their own, Lord God, may they see that you are a God who loves them and cares for them and is ready to help them and to fill them with supernatural peace. May your Holy Spirit help me right now, Lord God, help me to speak your word with power today. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. This morning I'm going to be using the word anxiety and the word worry interchangeably, so there might be some distinctions in the English language, but we're going to throw those to the side. I believe the average person, when they think of the word anxiety and they think of the word worry, they think of the same thing. Something, as the children said, that is upsetting you or concerning you or bothering you or agitating you, anxiety or worry. Here's a couple of definitions. It means to divide the mind. In other words, you have your mind in turmoil. There's a storm going on. To be at war with oneself, to be weighed down emotionally. So something is going on in your life, either past, present, or future. Sometimes anxiety is about the past, where you're thinking about what you could have done or should have done or would have done. Or maybe your anxiety is about the present, things that are right in front of you, relationships or struggles. Or maybe it's about the future and what you're thinking about in the future. I love the Word of God, how vivid it is in Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 16. It says, I hear and my body trembles. My lips quiver at the sound. Rottenness enters into my bones. My legs tremble beneath me. What a vivid picture of what you're going through when you have a trouble of facing your life. Proverbs 12:25 says, anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad. And I know that our emotional life is part of who we are. But I appreciated Joyce Meyer's quote on this. Feelings are much like waves. We can't stop them from coming, but we can choose which one to surf. And so the emotions are coming. But as Christ followers, we have to navigate through those waves and decide, this is what I need to embrace. So somebody wrote this. I don't know who. Anxiety is we mutter and sputter, we fume and we spurt, we mumble and grumble, our feelings get hurt, we can't understand things, our vision grows dim, when all that we need is a moment with Him. So let's deal with this thing. How does prayer stop anxiety? if that's a true promise in God's word, that anxiety is not something we should be embracing, but instead we should go to prayer, how does that actually work? And I'm going to share with you three things that need to happen in prayer. And in prayer, the first thing that happens is we are going to replace. When we go to God in prayer, we have our anxieties, we have our worries, but now in prayer, we replace worry with request to God. Philippians 4:6, we read it. It says, "Do not be anxious about anything." In the original language, it's a present tense command. It means continuously stop. That's what it means. Stop. So the assumption is that we are in anxiety, we are in worry, and the Word of God tells us stop. Okay, stop. So now, how do you stop something when the wave is coming and you're overwhelmed with it? So let's look at the Apostle Paul for a moment. As I mentioned to the kids, the context of Philippians, Paul is writing from a Roman jail. By the way, he is in his fourth year in that jail. So it's not like, you know, a couple of nights. 4 years in jail. He's had conflict with relationships. Philippians 4 talks about some ladies that were not getting along. He has a church that is not getting their needs met. In fact, they're struggling with contentment. They're struggling with their finances. They're being persecuted. There are false teachers that are moving among the church and leading the church astray. There is a lot for the elders, the pastors, for Paul to be anxious about. I think Paul can relate to your anxiety. I think some of the stuff that you're going through right now, you feel you're all alone. Paul understands it. God understands it. The Holy Spirit understands it. And God's speaking to you right now in His Word. And this is what He says. Philippians 4:6. In everything. Oh, wait a second, Pastor Phil. I got something. In everything. In everything. There's no exceptions. There's no excuses. There's no buts. In everything. By prayer, that's a general word for prayer, and supplication, that's bringing petition or request to God, with thanksgiving. So prayer is the solution to anxiety. You're going to replace the anxiety with prayer, but watch this, a prayer full of thanksgiving. Colossians 4:2 says, "Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving." So you're supposed to be praying. But some of us pray and all we're doing is mumbling and grumbling. Okay, that does not get you any freedom from anxiety. What we need to do is make a decision. I'm going to pray and I'm going to fill my prayers with thanksgiving. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "In everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." So think with me on this. It's impossible to be anxious and thankful at the same time. So this replacement thing is so crucial. If you want to get rid of the anxiety, then replace it with thankfulness. Okay? Because they can't exist together. Prayer, Lyman Strauss said this, prayer thrives best in the soil of a thankful heart. So thankfulness grows our faith. So when you're thankful, now your eyes are off of the stuff and off the problems, and now they're on Him, and your life is beginning to change. So I want you to do this. When you replace, what you're doing is choosing thankfulness. So you're going to bring your request to God, and in that prayer, you're going to thank Him. Now you might say this morning, "Phil, I can't be thankful for this. This is painful. This is hard. This is difficult. This is not. I cannot be thankful." So let's kind of process how this works. First of all, you might be thankful for the particular situation. There are some situations that if you dig a little deeper and you look a little harder, you can see something to be thankful for. Okay. You might be thankful for protection. You might think, "Well, wait a second. I've got a physical problem. Why would I be thankful for protection?" Okay. Can you imagine what our lives would be like if God did not protect us? Can you imagine if the angels were not protecting you around you and ministering to you? Can you imagine if God's Holy Spirit was pulled back and was not protecting you from the kingdom of darkness? I mean, we'd be in duck soup. I mean, really. But God does protect us. And so I thank him not just for what he does, but I'm thankful for what he has protected me from. We can be thankful for the people that God has brought into our lives. We can be thankful for the promises that God has given to us. And we can be thankful for him. So now, are we really thankful? We can trust this one that has written this. We can trust the one who has saved us. We can trust the one who has reached out to us. You can't always trust everything. Sometimes on the Internet, by the way, it's not always true. I appreciated what somebody said. Never buy a TV from a man on a street corner that's out of breath. There is something about that that says, I'm not so sure about this. So now, as a Christ follower, I want to give you some promises about God and how he works that you can trust. No matter what you're worried about this morning, I want to tell you these promises. There is no trial, there is no temptation that you are facing that is too difficult for God. Okay? He has provided a way of escape for you. He has provided a way for you to endure it, according to 1 Corinthians 10:13. I want to tell you that all things, according to God's promise, can work together for good. I don't care what you are going through. God, in his hands, can turn it into something good in your life or in the lives of those around you. Romans 8:28. According to 1 Peter 5:10, even suffering can lead to good results. That if you surrender the situation to Christ, there can be a good end to what you are facing. I believe, according to Psalm 62:11, that God's power is available to those that trust in him. That is good news. I am looking for God's power during my time of anxiety. I call out to him, and he has promised his power for his people. I also believe, according to Philippians 1:6, that God will never give up on his children. That he who began a good work in you will complete it unto the day of Christ Jesus. And you can count on that, even though you don't see how it's going to work out and you don't see the end product, that God has not given up on you and he will never give up on you. And I also believe, according to Isaiah 26:3, that God's peace comes when I put my mind upon him. So Charles Spurgeon said this: the earth should be a temple filled with the songs of grateful believers, and every day should be an altar smoking with the sweet incense of thanksgiving. Charles Spurgeon. So we have these anxieties. We have these worries. And the Word of God tells me, stop it. And I go, I can't stop it. It's too overwhelming. But I can replace it. And I can put my mind on thankfulness. And I can fill my thoughts with thankfulness. And then I have replaced the anxiety with something that is very powerful. The Word of God says, let your requests be made known to God. Did you know that's not an invitation? That's a command. He's telling his people, this is the way my children are to operate. This is the rule of the family. I take the requests from you. I hold them. I will deal with them. And you need to give them to me. That's the way the family of God works. Psalms 34 says, when the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. So, number one, in prayer, replace anxiety with prayers of thankfulness. Number two, how does prayer deliver me from anxiety? It's the word remember. In prayer, I am going through a process of remembering God's love and God's care for me. I'm turning from my anxiety to the one that loves me and the one that cares for me. You might have seen this picture on the Internet. I'm sure it's true of this bird during the storm that took care of the little guys. Isn't that great? Could you just put yourself under those wings right now? And whatever is going on in your life, could you just see God right now putting his wings over you? Okay, the Bible tells us that it's a picture of God. Now, God is not a bird, but this is a picture of how he takes care of his children. Matthew 6:25. This is Jesus talking. Do not be anxious about your life. Now, what he's referring to when he uses the word life, it's the general word for life. It involves your physical life. It involves your mental life. It involves your emotional life. It involves your spiritual life. Three times in Matthew 6, verse 25, verse 31, verse 34, he says the same thing. Do not be anxious about your life. Okay, so there is something that's on the heart of Jesus. He's trying to get our attention here. He looks at us. He comes down from heaven. He's walking among us. And he keeps seeing all this anxiety among his people. And he keeps telling us, would you guys stop? Okay. And then we say, but you don't understand Jesus. You don't understand our struggles. Well, this is what he says, verse 32. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them. So he's giving us a little window of heaven here. And he's saying, okay, you don't realize how much your Heavenly Father not only is aware, but He cares. Okay, so worry is a symptom of a relationship problem with my Heavenly Father. Worry comes from a very old German word, which means to strangle or to choke. When we yield to worry, we are strangling or choking a relationship of trust with our Heavenly Father. We are allowing the stuff to choke out the life we have with our Heavenly Father. Worry is not a trivial sin, but it strikes a blow at God's love and care, according to John MacArthur. In other words, you are saying, God, you can't love me in this situation. You can't care for me in this situation. You're not aware of what I'm going through. And Jesus says, stop. Now, quick summary moment here. According to Psalms 139, let's talk about who God is. Did you know that God knows everything? Did you know that God knows every person personally? He doesn't delegate it to a bunch of angels that are on computers trying to figure out the world. He knows every single person. He knows every person's past, present, and future. He knew you in the womb. He knew you before you even came up and said hello to your mom and dad. I mean, He knew you. He knows every weakness you have. So when you are thinking of God, see Him as a very knowledgeable, very aware, very alert, and very focused kind of God. He cares about you. Remember what I said to the children, 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all your anxieties on Him. It's also found in the book of Psalms, Psalms 55:22. Cast your burden on the Lord and He will sustain you. So this is an Old Testament teaching and a New Testament teaching. So I was watching... Naya, our 4-year-old granddaughter, had her birthday party Friday night, and she got a Barbie fishing pole. Wow, there is a moment of glory there, I tell you. And at the end of the fishing pole was a felt fish, you know, kind of a toy thing. And so, you know, cast it, throw it. And one of her neighbor friends did it, and it went right over the neighbor's fence and right over and disappeared. It's okay. It's still hooked on. Reel it back. Reel it back. Some of you are looking at your anxiety as fishermen. Wrong, wrong, wrong. You cannot throw your anxiety to Jesus and reel it back, because that's not the biblical concept of casting here. We are to throw all our care upon Him. According to Sidlow Baxter, not only the larger but the lesser, not only the spiritual but the material, not only in general but in particular, not only in part of the time but all of the time. So now, some of you have played enough football in your sandlot days. You know why a quarterback does not throw the ball to the guy waving his hands in the end zone. Okay. Number one, the quarterback has an ego problem. They want to be in control. They want the ball and they don't want to give it away to anybody else. Okay. Number two, lack of faith. You don't believe they're going to catch it. You've thrown it to them before and they've dropped it every time. Number three, maybe a lack of humility. You think you're the only one that can do the play in the entire field. Number four, maybe you got some linebacker coming in your face and you didn't have time to throw it. Okay, so look at those four reasons. It's the same logic we have why we don't give our anxiety to Jesus. Some of us want to stay in control. You are saying that you are praying about your problem, but you really want to still control your problem. If you are truly praying about it, you would give it to Jesus. You would let it go and trust that he could handle it. You have to have absolute confidence. Jesus is in the end zone and he's waving his arms and he says, throw it. And you're going, I don't know. I'm not sure you could catch it. Really? He's the Son of the living God. He created the universe. He maintains the universe. He sustains the universe. And you don't think he can handle it. Really? I mean, why do we hold on to our anxiety when the Son of the living God is wanting it from us? And sometimes we just need to humble ourselves and say, you know what? I've messed with this problem long enough, Jesus, and I actually have made it worse. And I need to humble myself and just give it to you. And I need to submit to you. And then sometimes the enemy is teaching us that we need to hold on to those anxieties. And those are lies from the enemy. Okay, so let's go back to what it says in 1 Peter 5:7. You give, you throw your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Jesus said to his disciples in John 14:18, I will not leave you as orphans. Jesus has not left you. He has not abandoned you. He has not walked away from you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. It's the promise you have from Jesus. He cares for you. Here's the lie from Satan. God doesn't care about me. He's too busy. He's too distant. God doesn't care about me personally. He's not interested. God doesn't care about my needs. Those are all lies from the devil. Now, let's take it up a notch here. Peter Lewis, a pastor in England, said this. Sometimes anxiety can be a kind of atheism. Our fears or problems fill the horizon until God is given no place. Our worries are everywhere and God is nowhere. But he calls us to prayer, not to escape from everything, but to prayer in everything. Prayer is not escapism. It is a unique kind of involvement. It is saying, God, I want you to be involved in my life and I trust you. And when we do not do that, it is a form of atheism. You might say, well, I'm a Christian. I'm not an atheist. Well, are you living like a Christian or are you living like an atheist? An atheist lives like there's no God. And if you're holding on to your anxieties, you are living like there's no God. Okay? He is real and he cares for you. So give him what he wants. He wants your anxieties. Okay? Now, our words to each other, one of the things we can do with each other is to remind each other of this truth, because sometimes we forget. Anxieties can get so big, all we see is the problem. And then what we need is Christ followers to come alongside of us. 2 Corinthians 7:5-6, Paul says he was afflicted at every turn. He had problems without and fears within. But God, look at this, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus. I believe that we are here together to be brothers and sisters. When you find somebody where the anxiety, I mean, it's like, you know, a blitzing linebacker coming at your friend in Christ, you stand in the gap and you remind them of the promises and you remind them that God has a word of hope for them and a plan for them. And we need each other to remind each other that there is a God who loves us. You can give that word to a friend here, even today. You meet somebody that's struggling. You meet somebody that's overwhelmed. And you come alongside of them and you say, you're not alone. Jesus loves you. Let's talk to him together. Okay. And so I just want to say very briefly that God, over 40 years ago, gave me Anita. And this is one of the number one blessings I've received from being married to her now 40 years. Is she's been that kind of a friend that has reminded me of the truth of who God is. Who are those people? Long time ago. 40 years ago today, by the way. And amen. She hasn't changed a bit. I don't know who that old guy is with her, but When I finish ministering to you guys on a Sunday, I want to tell you, just about every Sunday, I go to Anita and I say, "Now tell me the truth. How did I really do?" You know, and for 40 years, she has continually given me words of encouragement and reminder of God's plan, and that's meant the world to me. One last thing I want to share with you. How can we deal with this problem, anxiety? How does prayer become the answer? Number three is this word, rely. Through prayer, what you're doing is you're going to rely on the Holy Spirit for His provision. That God has given every Christ follower the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit lives within every Christ follower. And Jesus is trying to remind His followers this truth. Mark 13:11. Do not be anxious. Here's Jesus talking again. Do not be anxious beforehand what you are to say. I have found that much of my anxiety is an anticipation of what I'm going to say in a relationship. Maybe there's been hurt. Maybe there's been a misunderstanding. Maybe there's been a problem with a person. And I am stewing over that. And so I'm trying to figure out, what am I going to say when I see them? There's some tough conversations that are coming up. Maybe there's a worst case scenario that I'm playing out in my mind of what's going to happen in that relationship. I don't know what the percentage is, but I believe a very high percentage of our anxiety is people related. Do not be anxious beforehand what you are to say, for it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. So how does the Holy Spirit dissolve the anxiety? Because I have a confidence that the Holy Spirit's going to help me in every conversation and in every relationship and in every situation with people. Now, how is the Holy Spirit going to help? Well, there's going to be four things. The Holy Spirit will bring to mind God's word. John 14:26 says that. So in that conversation that I'm going to have with that person, He's going to give me truth. He's going to remind me of what God's word says about relationships or about the situation. He's going to guide me into all truth. He's going to bear witness of Jesus. So He's going to remind me that Jesus is there. Jesus is going to help me. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit gives God's people boldness. So when I am facing a conversation, a relationship that's creating anxiety, I go to God and say, "God, I need your Holy Spirit." And Jesus says, "Well, I already promised that. He's within you. He'll help you." And so I thank Him for His Holy Spirit. Francis Chan wrote a book called Forgotten God. It's about the Holy Spirit. And he talks about how tragic it is in the local church and how so many Christians have forgotten the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives. And the Holy Spirit is available to help them. And this is what he says. If I were Satan and my ultimate goal was to thwart God's kingdom and purposes, one of my main strategies would be to get churchgoers to ignore the Holy Spirit. And when believers live in the power of the Spirit, the evidence of our lives is supernatural. The church cannot help but be different and the world cannot help but notice. You see, God has given us the answer to our anxiety. The answer is the Holy Spirit. And when we forget that, we get the anxiety overwhelms us. But what in prayer, we go to God and say, "God, help me see your Holy Spirit at work in this situation. And I'm going to trust in your promise that your Holy Spirit will come in a time of need." Luke 12:11 says, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. And I want to tell you how many times I've had a conversation with somebody and while they're talking, my eyes are open, but I am praying, "Lord, help me. I don't know what to say. I don't know how to respond. I don't know what this person is needing. I don't know what this person wants. I don't want to say the wrong thing. Please, Lord, keep my foot out of my mouth." How many of you guys have prayed that prayer? So what you ought to say. So the Holy Spirit is there to remove the anxiety. Now, this is where the problem comes in relationships. We can say the wrong thing. How often we actually pour fuel on the fire of a situation. We can say the right thing to the wrong people. That's called gossip, by the way. We can say the right thing in the wrong tone. That's called sarcasm. We can say the right thing in the wrong timing, and that's just called stupid. Okay. We can say the right thing to the right people in the right way at just the right time, and that's called the Holy Spirit, you see. So when you trust in God's provision, then you have that freedom in those conversations because you know the Holy Spirit's going to guide you. In playing golf, one of the things I cannot stand is playing golf in the wind. Because the right technique, which isn't happened very often, but the right technique and the right motions and the right intent, and you hit the ball and the wind just throws it to the next county. Worry is like the wind in a golf match. You have the right intention, but when you submit to worry, it throws it to the next county. And you need to trust in the Holy Spirit to help you. As I conclude these thoughts here, I want to remind you of that story of Felix Baumgartner. Remember the 43-year-old man that I think he broke the speed of sound jumping out of almost a spaceship, the farthest jump ever, you know, parachute kind of thing. But you guys remember that story, don't you? There it is. He's all by himself up there, by the way. Anybody want to get a definition in your dictionary of stupid? There might be right there. Okay. Do you know that he did not do this alone? Oh, he was there by himself, but he did not do it alone. The previous record holder, his name is Joe Kittinger, was 84-year-old man. And he says, I cannot do this without you. This is what Felix said to Joe. So in his ear was this 84-year-old mentor, retired U.S. Air Force colonel, that was continually talking to him throughout this complete experience. He said, I don't want, listen to this, please. I don't want any other voice but Joe's voice. I don't want any other distraction. I cannot do this without him speaking to me and talking to me through this. When he jumped, he fell into a massive spin, completely out of control. The same problem that had nearly killed Joe in one of his jumps. So when he was crying out for help, Joe talked him through it, how to get through the deadly spin. I've been there before. I know what you're going through. I know what you've experienced. And he continued to comfort him and guide him. And this man was a success. And he says later, only because of Joy's voice in my head. If I did not have his voice, I would not have made it. That's the call of every Christ follower, that you have a gift from God and you are not alone. And you don't have to go into this free fall spin by yourself called life. You can replace those anxieties with thankful prayers. You can remember who you are talking to. He loves you and cares for you. And his character is completely trustworthy. And you can rely on the Holy Spirit. He has given you the one that will never leave you. He will comfort you and guide you through every struggle. Could I just tell you today, if you are not a Christ follower, you have been carrying your worries all alone. Could I just ask you why? There's a very real God who loves you and he cares for you. And he wants your anxieties. If you would just give him your life through Jesus Christ, he will give you the peace of God beyond human comprehension. Could I just ask the Christ followers in this room, why are we holding on to our anxieties? Why? It is time to change. This year, our theme of sermons is the power of a praying church. This is where the power many times gets choked off when we refuse to give him our anxieties. Let's turn the corner today and let's say no more. Jesus says, stop. We're going to stop. Yes. Father in heaven, thank you for the power you give to us. This world can be difficult and overwhelming. I know there are some in this room right now that are struggling deeply. And in this moment, we hear the Savior calling to us. Throw it to me. Throw it to me. So, Lord God, we release the care and we release the control. We release the I'll do it myself attitude. and we will stop the lies of the enemy, and we will hear the promises from your word that you love us and you care for us, and we want to be so thankful instead of weighed down. Lord God, fill us with your thankfulness. Fill us with a new perspective and a new hope. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that is here in this room, ready to help us. Set us free, Lord Jesus. Set us free from the anxieties that overwhelm us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As Christ followers, when we go to the cup and